CSI, Lewisham. Never mind the quality of that. Feel the whip.
Grace on a Friday night?
Absolutely not.
Is it more like Matt Smith in House of the Dragon with that single curl flopping over?
Damo, please give it its full title, Best Supporting Curl.
Without drifting into spoiler territory, because I've watched a little bit of the first series of Slow Horses, is it that they start watching Maths Australia as well?
I'll endeavour to put my big girl pants on and watch it.
What are you doing? I'm off to tap the laptop.
This podcast was recorded remotely
and may contain adult language and themes.
Hello and welcome to a very, very special TVDNA, our spoiler-free watch list episode. My name is Adam Hemming, and as Sunil Patel's character in Alice and Jack says to his wife before they have sex, past performance is no guarantee of future success. In the week that Noel Fielding brought his dick to our TV screens, I've been joined by Neil Shepek.
Hey, congratulations to us all.
And in the week that we got a trailer for a show where a woman turns into a chicken nugget, I've also been joined by Grace Chapman.
Oh, 3 years, eh? We're aging like fine wine.
And yes, in the week that we celebrate our third year as a podcast, I'm also joined by Damian Cooper.
Konnichiwa, Adamu-san.
Konnichiwa. A little teaser there of what Damian and I have been watching. So we haven't got a specific featured show this week, but there's been a lot of stuff out. So who wants to kick us off with what they've been watching?
I've watched the whole series of Borders, which I've really enjoyed. It's basically a group of young, I guess, sixth formers that get given a scholarship as part of a kind of diversity program type thing in this posh private school, and the antics that they come up.
Yeah, crucially, sort of five black kids given scholarships to this school. And one of the reasons that they want to improve their image as a school is that one of their students has been videoed being rather vile to a homeless person, which, and it's, I've enjoyed this. I haven't finished it yet, Neil, so no spoilers, but okay. I am really enjoying Borders. I think it's a really, really strong watch.
Set the scene for me. Are we talking like Eton levels of Borders, or are we talking more sort of regional private school?
I don't know. If you've heard of Giggleswick, that's a private school up in Yorkshire. I guess it is kind of Eton-like. It's kind of like pre-Oxbridge kind of level. And I would say it's got it's not as good as Sex Education, but it does have a kind of feeling of that. If you enjoy Sex Education, this is a good watch.
Yeah, the kind of angle is, will they all make the most of the opportunity that they've been given, or will they just throw it all away by making whatever mistakes that they might potentially make? But it's a great cast. The five core characters of this, Jaheim, Leah, Toby, Femi and Omar, they're all kind of quite distinct characters. They've all got their own sort of qualities and their own issues that they're dealing with. But Toby is by far my favourite. He's this multilingual, highly intelligent, smart aleck DJ who starts the thing off trying to flog some knockoff trainers to St. Gilbert's students. Where do you sit, Neil, on whether it's a comedy drama or a drama comedy? Does it matter?
I don't think it does matter. I think it goes more towards the comedy than the drama, but there is drama there. I completely agree. Toby's my favourite character. They're all great, and they all have their own, you know, kind of storyline. I mean, you kind of fall in love with all five of them, but Toby, absolutely, he's just great.
Yeah, lots of love for Toby. The one other character I want to talk about from Borders is Rupert, who is quite possibly the most vile adolescent since Joffrey. They do a really, really good job of setting him up as being incredibly, incredibly vile. And then I'm only halfway through it so far, but there's potential for him to be redeemed somehow.
Has he got slicked back blonde hair?
He's got floppy kind of blondish hair. Early Hugh Grant type floppy.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I feel like a lot of like sort of teenage boys who are villains always have that slick back on. So nice to know that it's changing it up.
Is it, or is it more like Matt Smith in House of the Dragon with that single curl flopping over?
Damo, please give it its full title, Best Supporting Curl.
Rupert's journey reminds me a little bit and it's completely escaping me. The character in Sex Education, who's got the headmaster father.
Is it Adam?
Yes, Adam. His journey's a little bit like Adam's in season one of Sex Education, I would say.
Anything else that you've been watching then, Neil? Oh, Grace, sorry, you go.
I've just got a question. First of all, is all of this series out and where can we watch it? Because it was definitely something I was interested in.
Yeah, I play it and yeah, the whole series is out, 6 episodes. And yeah, I binged it within 2 days.
What have you been watching, Grace?
Oh God, don't come to me.
What have you been watching, Damo?
No, it's
absolutely
okay.
Absolutely not. There's no way she's getting away with that. What have you been watching?
Oh, okay. Well, it's been a long week. I'd like to preface with that. It's been a long work week. As Damo would say, you know, is this a safe space?
Yes, it is a safe space. We go out after the watershed.
Not sure. Okay, so just five words for you. And I'm just going to say them. All right. So it goes a bit like this. Married at First Sight Australia.
MAFSA?
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I only watched the first 20 minutes of episode one.
Well, you obviously didn't only watch the first 20 minutes of episode one.
Yeah, I don't know. Can I go there? I mean, the last series was 40 episodes long. That's a lot of time to lose. And that's a lot of brain to mulch. So can I do it? Tune in next week to find out.
Can I just check to see whether you've watched any more Slow Horses, Grace?
I have, Adam. I've just finished the fourth episode of season one. You'll be pleased to hear. So I'm treading a little balancing act there, but loving it so much. Absolutely loving it. Something happens in the middle of season one, which just turns everything on its head. So listeners, if you've watched Slow Horses already, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you haven't watched Slow Horses, you need to get on it.
Without drifting into spoiler territory, because I've watched a little bit of the first series of Slow Horses, is it that they start watching MAFS Australia as well?
That is my dream scenario. Anyway, you know, I'm not proud, but also sometimes you just need to go to telly for a bit of comforting nothingness, and that's what that was. So there we go. J-Mo, what have you been watching?
Well, obviously Criminal Record season one has now finished. Confirmed there will be a second season with Kush Jumbo in it. No word on Peter Capaldi, I believe. It's not a spoiler, I don't think. Great, Adam, you've been watching it as well, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I think every time I thought it was getting a little bit slow or predictable, it did pull it round. I think it's really strong stuff overall as a show. Intelligent topics, good watch. I think it was Kush Jumbo who let it slip that there was going to be a second season. I don't think it's actually officially been confirmed yet by Apple TV Plus, although they are quite loyal to their show that do well.
Actually, that's just reminding me, I have an apology to make to our listeners. I'm not too proud to make this apology. I said one of the issues that I had with the early episodes of Criminal Record is that I thought Kush Jumbo's accent got a little bit looks-a-mussy at points. I have since, having done my research, realised that Kush Jumbo is originally from the People's Republic of Lewisham, and I can only apologise to my brother from another borough, my sister from another postcode, I don't know. But anyway, I think it's great. I do think Kush Jumbo drove it along at points when I think even Peter Capaldi felt like he was floundering and stuttering. But yeah, I would also say that I'm still watching Gladiators, and I'm absolutely still fast-forwarding between the events, but it's got even more ridiculous. They're trying to build all this drama, so like a gladiator will just deliberately do something wrong, and then there'll be a whistle blown, and then the referee will say, "Viper, this is your first and last warning. If you do that again, you will be disqualified." It's completely unnecessary, but I'm still watching it for the nostalgia vibes. And also been watching Breathtaking on ITV. I've seen all three episodes. How far has everyone else got into it?
I've watched the first episode, and I'm not sure I will watch the rest, because for me, it's a little bit too soon. It's basically about nurses and doctors dealing with the early start of the pandemic. and not getting enough PPE and all that stuff. And yes, it's realistic. But for me, it was a bit like, yeah, I've lived through that and I'm not getting anything by watching, you know, a reenactment, which is how it feels at times.
Yeah, I actually haven't started it, but I've heard such good things about it. Just every time I sit down and I think to myself, I'll try Breathtaking. Just I can't do it. I just can't go there. But what is it like, Adam and Damon? Because I know that you have gone there. So how is it?
Yeah, I like Damon have finished Breathtaking, and it's aptly named in so many ways because it is breathtaking, the things that they had to deal with. And, you know, yes, I agree we did all live through all of that fairly recently, to not really have to think about the pressures that the NHS were under. Yes, we knew generally that they were under a lot of pressure, but when you sort of see the sorts of things, and I do believe in the authenticity of this, it is a drama. But I know that the research has been done on this, and it's adapted from a memoir, I believe. So I think it was a really good, similarly to Mr. Bates versus the Post Office, right? It induces a lot of sadness and a lot of anger, and how Boris Johnson hasn't been brought to us properly for his part in so many people's deaths is a massive, massive travesty.
It also, you know, it's 4 years ago this is based in, so we are pretty much now 4 or 5 days away from it being exactly 4 years from when they were like, well, actually, I think we might have to lock down. So there is a bit of time, but yeah, it still feels fairly raw. I think one of the important aspects of this is just to remind people that have forgotten what the people in the NHS actually went through to make sure we stayed safe. When there's these discussions about doctors needing real-term pay rises, same with nurses, and we have a media that was 4 years ago, 3 years ago, saying they are heroes, we should clap for them, are now saying, God, they're absolutely reckless. How dare they do this and expect to get more money? I think that's important. I think for me, I think the first two episodes are really strong. There's some moments in the third that they're covering so much. And I think whilst there's repetition of some stuff, there's other things that aren't properly explored. So, for example, this isn't a spoiler. We can all remember people like someone didn't want to wear a mask. And that's dealt with in one scene quite quickly and then never really dealt with again. And you think, well, that's actually significant of that experience of what we were going through. And we've kind of dealt with it a little bit awkwardly here. But really, there was probably could have been found space to thread that through earlier and all the other kind of COVIDiot stuff. But I think in terms of the way it's shot handheld. So it's kind of got that almost West Wing vibe to it. The camera moves, it's not fixed. That gives kind of a real energy and drive and pace to what's going on. And I'm kind of generally not that bothered about Froggitt, but I think she's pretty good in this.
Well, nobody does dismay and consternation quite like Joanne Froggitt. In this, she plays acute medicine consultant Abby. And I've always had a bit of a crush on her, so I think that's quite an accurate description.
Nice.
But yeah, it is bitty. It is, because it's jumping across time, so it's... you have an issue with the word bitty, Damo.
Bitty?
What a throwback.
Because it's dealing with these different moments in time, and it jumps around between those a bit, there's not as much of a satisfying character development, I think, for some of these characters. But they're all doing a fine job in this, everyone in the cast. And including, you know, friend of the pod, Chris Hatherall, who we get to see sporting a bathrobe.
Yeah, worth the price of admission alone, I'd say.
It sounds like it's not a coincidence that this has come up in an election year. I don't know. But maybe I'll watch it and I'll have a really good cathartic cry. Is it quite cathartic to watch it, or is it just triggering?
Latter, I'd say. I was definitely crying at points. Or maybe not sobbing, but definitely very wet-eyed through sections, particularly in the back end of episode 2 and probably the first half of episode 3, where it's just horrendous, horrendously grim.
And how much, I'm really intrigued by this show. So, and having kind of not wanted to watch it, I've got lots of questions. How much do you see of the victims of COVID and their families? Or is it very much like NHS doctors' experience, which obviously is interlinked, but
Yeah, I think I'd say probably with this show, you see that also the doctors are victims of COVID. But there are not just emotional victims, should I say. You know, people in this team, in this healthcare team, do contract it during the series. It's quite significant, that storyline. And you can just see how ruined they all are by it.
Definitely on my watch list, gang. I'll endeavour to put my big girl pants on and watch it.
Anything else from anyone else?
I mean, I teased it. Shogun on Disney Plus. I've watched the two episodes around. Adam, you've done the same, haven't you?
Yes, I have, yeah.
I haven't yet, and I intend to, so obviously no spoilers, but I know what it's about.
I think this is phenomenal TV. I am, yeah, really, really excited about this show, and we've been discussing on the WhatsApp about the possibility of doing some featured episodes, so covering two episodes at a time. It's a 10-episode series. It's a big, big story. It's a chunky book, and from my point of view, yeah, they're doing a really, really brilliant job of this in those first two episodes.
I have one significant issue, all right? I think this is brilliant, though. I am absolutely loving it. But Cosmo Jarvis, who plays John Blackthorne, and is your classic, I would say, Englishman abroad, talks loudly, slowly, and reminds everyone every other sentence that he's English and is absolutely disgusted that no one can understand him, whether he's speaking in English or Portuguese. My issue is that they've given him this pair of blue contact lenses to wear, but you can see their blue contact lenses. And so every time he's having this big emotive scene, like these weird dark rings, inner and outer rings of his eyes, where the contacts haven't quite covered them. Obviously, in the book, and something said in the second episode about this person has blue eyes, and obviously the Japanese people, it's crazy. Someone has blue eyes, that's absolutely mad. But I did feel like, oh, God, was then maybe cast someone with blue eyes or get better contacts?
But yeah, the contact lenses aside, this is a fantastic show. You've got kind of three main characters. So John Blackthorne, as you say, is played by Cosmo Jarvis. Mariko is played by Anna Sawai, who's in Pachinko and Girihaji and Monarch and loads of other stuff. And Yoshi Toranaga, who's played Damien by
Hiroyuki Sanada.
Thank you very much. Who's been in, again, loads of stuff, including Lost, and you will recognise him certainly. But they're all, I think, phenomenal. And it's just gorgeous. There's some really, really stunning action sequences in here. It's quite violent in places, but there's also some cracking dialogue. Finally, a shout out from me for Nesta Carbonell as the Spaniard Rodriguez.
Yeah, he is absolutely fantastic in that. I mean, Nesta is a brilliant actor anyway, but seeing him in amongst all that is really nice. I just think, yeah, the aesthetic is phenomenal. As you can imagine, it's Shogun of Japan, so everything is just exquisite and beautiful. Everything is precise and perfect. I can't wait. How long have we got to episode 3 drops?
Comes out every Wednesday, I believe. Oh, no, Tuesday. Sorry, Tuesdays. Every Tuesday. So not too long. There's lots that I think we could sink our teeth into discussion-wise. So I think it'd make a really good topic for a featured show.
Is it just the Zoom? Or do all four of us also have blue eyes?
I know I do.
We do.
Look at us all leaning into the camera.
Not much ocular diversity in this podcast.
No.
Right, well, I've got a few bits that I've watched that I'll try and get through. I got home the other night and I was going to watch an episode one day on Netflix, and I noticed that the SAG Awards were on live. And I ended up staying up for a couple of hours watching those. Now, they're not the best award ceremony, and it was pretty predictable with the Bear, Beef and Oppenheimer scooping up most of the awards. But Pedro Pascal did beat old Kieran to the Best Actor, and Elizabeth Debicki beat Sarah Snook in those categories.
Well, as you say, they're not really very good awards, are they?
Did that, what should we call it, Laugh-A-Minute Bear win at the comedy category?
I don't, I can't remember actually how they split their categories up. Probably, yeah.
Blows my mind.
Now, the other thing that I wanted to watch, because obviously we're a TV podcast, is one of the new shows that's out this week, which is called Smart TV. And this is Rob, what's his name?
Bryden.
No. Delaney. Josh Whedon and Rob Beckett. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is Rob Beckett's TV panel show that's available to watch on Sky and Now TV.
Rob Beckett, also from the People's Republic of Lewisham. Thank you.
Well, I have listened to his podcast that he does with Josh Widdicombe about parenting hell. But this this TV quiz show was not a serious quiz. So it was 10 minutes in and they'd only asked one question. The first two sort of topics were Take Me Out and Big Brother. They had outdated jokes and references. I mean, nothing of it was particularly current. I think the most current show they even mentioned was Emily in Paris.
Even Gogglebox does better than that.
God, that is shocking. I mean, where can people go for insightful analysis of current TV? I mean, I just don't know.
I did think watching this, Grace would probably love it. And they do have decent guests. So they had, is it John McKenzie? Is that his name? Comedian? Yeah. Russell Tovey, some chap from Made in Chelsea or something, and Stacey Dooley. But Alison Hammond and Josh Widdicombe are the team captains. And yeah, there was some entertaining stuff from them. But yeah, if you're looking for a serious TV quiz, you probably want to listen to our University Challenge episodes. What else should I talk about? Constellation. I've now 2.5 episodes into Constellation on Apple TV Plus. This is the one that stars Noomi Rapace and Jonathan Banks. It's quite difficult to get into as a show. It's quite confusing. Yes, Damien.
Was it out of this world?
It was set on the International Space Station in part as an incident which needs them to evacuate. And the cause of the incident is a spoiler, but quite disturbing. Meanwhile, Jonathan Banks keeps banging on about a quantum event and the CAL, which I think is like a black box recording device, which has 6 seconds of vital data on it. I'm 2.5 episodes in and I maybe have a little bit more knowledge now than I did after that first episode, but I am still quite enjoying it.
I was going to say, is it shit or not? That's all we want to know.
I can't really say, like, in terms of the dialogue and the performance and everything else, it all holds together and there is a mystery and an intrigue and weird shit happening. But because I don't really know what it's about or what's going on, I can't decide whether it's terrible or not. But I'm going to keep watching it, so I will sort of see it through and let you know whether it's any good.
Maybe there'll be some sort of light bulb moment.
Yeah. Possibly.
It sounds reminiscent of True Detective Night Country to me.
Well, I think in True Detective Night Country, you had more of an understanding of what was going on, even though, you know, there was some mystery there. This feels like all mystery and nothing really tangible to hang your hat on.
Gosh, you knew more when it was the Night Country. That is saying something.
Yeah.
Well, I've also finished Expats. Were you tempted to go back, Damo?
I haven't yet, no. I mean, I've barely had any chance to watch TV this week, but maybe I will over the weekend.
Well, I think it's almost a spoiler to say what this show is actually about. So all I'll say is that I think it's beautiful and cleverly written. I think it's well performed and it focuses on these three women who are forever linked through this tragic event. I highly recommend Expats. I thought it was brilliant. A couple of other things that I've tried. I tried Wolf Like Me, second season of that, which I remembered had Josh Gad in it. Olaf from Frozen is in this show. He's actually quite good in live action TV. And yet, second season sees Isla Fisher's werewolf character now pregnant and having to deal with all of the concerns and worries that might bring if you're a werewolf. It was very much sort of As You Were from the first season, but I enjoyed it and I'll probably go back and watch more of that. I also, Billy the Kid, the whole first season and some of the second season has been dropped on Prime Video. This is an origin story for Billy, framed by his older self in a confrontation with a bounty hunter. There's not much of his older self yet to go on from what I've watched. And the more compelling performance was from the child Billy. But it's really well shot and engaging, slightly slow start. But this is hitting the spot for me and fulfilling my Western itch. So I'm quite enjoying Billy the Kid and I will watch a bit more of that.
You should get some cream for that, Adam.
Honestly, you just took the words right out of my mouth, Neil.
And the other show I finished was The Way.
Yes. Well, you haven't finished it because it's not... The Way isn't finished yet.
Is it not?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it isn't. I've watched episode 3 and there's no... Is it only 3 episodes? I thought it was a 6 episode. Well, I could be wrong.
Those 3 episodes all came out at once and it's only 3 episodes.
Oh, okay, then it was the end. I can kind of see that.
Neil, how do you feel about that, though? Because you were hoping for more.
I was really enjoying it. I thought some great performances. The kind of juvenile male lead, if you want to call it that. Because it was a real ensemble, so there weren't really any leads as such. Slightly disappointed there wasn't more of Michael Sheen. But the young male lead was in It's a Sin. And I can't remember either the actor or the character's name, but he was amazing in It's a Sin. And he's very, very good in this.
Could we just have a brief synopsis or a tease about what The Way is?
Yeah, it's set initially in Port Talbot near Swansea, and basically there's a factory or smelting where the ignition light on your boiler or whatever, the equivalent for that goes off. But there's also been some other weird things happening with a young worker there fell into the smelting and burnt alive, and then his father ends up burning himself on the streets of Port Talbot right at the beginning. And there's all sorts of superstitions about if the light goes out and there's this sword. But anyway, there's a family that are all very involved in Port Talbot in many different ways. But there's basically civil unrest in Port Talbot. Riots start. The younger lad who is in It's a Sin, his character, he's really good and he's very different to his character in It's a Sin. But he gets kind of scapegoated as starting the riots. So they go on the run. They have to kind of climb their way out of Port Talbot. They can't use vehicles. There are police stopping people from leaving Port Talbot. And eventually, basically, it's being a refugee. That's the story that they tell over those three episodes. Is that they're trying to get to safety. They're relying on people putting them up. They're trying to get over the British Channel to get to safety because it's not safe in England because the police are after them. And there's a kind of bounty hunter type character. For three episodes, it is a really good watch.
Awesome. Cheers for that detailed synopsis. Thanks for that. The listeners know this is The Way.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good indeed. Did you mention Danny Sapani and Luke Evans popping up? I think Luke Evans plays the bounty hunter you were talking about.
I was trying to remember his name when I was watching it. I was like, I know who he is. I know who he is. What's his name?
It is a great cast. Callum Scott-Howes is the name of the actor that you were looking for earlier, yes. Neil.
Yeah. And his character in It's a Sin?
I don't have that information ready to hand.
Owain Davis?
Is it Owain? Might be.
It's been the most Welsh name I could think of. Sorry.
He's the Welsh character who joins them in It's a Sin, in the house, and eventually dies.
His name's Colin. Colin. Colin Morris. Colin Morris and obviously Jones.
Yeah.
There's one final one that I wanted to mention that I have watched. I've watched the first episode of Things You Should Have Done, which was out this week. This is the story of Lucia, or Chi, as she is known, who is a stay-at-home daughter and very much is unprepared for suddenly becoming an orphan, which is something that happens to her. And she's effectively given the house on the condition that she completes a list of things that she should have done by now. And these include sort of fairly basic things like stroking a pet and leaving Kent, I think is one of them. This first episode sees her trying to learn how to drive. Meanwhile, you've got her kind of aunt who believes that the house should be hers. It's essentially a lot of incredibly stupid people being useless in the extreme is what this show is all about. But it is very funny. I have enjoyed it. It's quite surreal at times. It's silly, but I think some genuinely funny bits.
Yeah, so Lucia Gershkin is one of those people that got quite big during lockdown with the comedy that she was making in her front room or whatever and posting. So I would highly recommend, if you enjoy that show, or even if you don't, look her up on Instagram. It's very funny, kind of low energy, deadpan delivery of some absolutely hilarious stuff.
Yeah. It's good. I'm enjoying it and we'll watch more. But yeah, that's it. Other than my Oscar watch, which is, you know, coming on apace, and Fear of the Walking Dead and Doctor Who and One Day and Kin and The New Look and Alice and Jack. That's all I've been watching.
Talking of The Walking Dead, in the States, they've released the Rishon episodes.
Yeah, I don't know whether we're ever going to get it here.
I have to see if we've got an American friend who can send it over.
How is Marjorie doing? Has she got any kind of release? Is she allowed out of her cell? She's still in solitary. What's going on?
No, I've been told she releases herself most evenings.
Oh, good for her.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Should we quickly move on then to what's coming out this week?
Yeah, let's do
it's
it.
Your parent.
Oh, I just.
You said quickly, Adam.
Sorry, YouTube just came on for absolutely no reason on my laptop. If you
know. Oh, are you watching Lego Bricks videos on silent again while
doing calls? No.
But I'll tell you what you might watch instead, Grace, that's come to, it doesn't say, that's not helpful. My Prime, as of today of recording, the first day of March, is Dead Hot, which is a comedy thriller which sees Elliot and Jess's journey through grieving and discovering their true identities. Yet, Elliot's bigoted grandmother, Francine, is doing an outstanding job of interfering with their party lifestyle. It stars Bilal Hazna, Vivian Opara, and Penelope Wilton, as well as Peter Serafinowicz. So that's on Prime Video, Dead Hot. Now, is that set in Liverpool? Because it's dead hot.
I don't think it is, no.
I've seen the trailer, it does look good.
Yeah, Penelope Wilton's. I mean, I think that all of the cast in this are great. I've seen them in other bits and pieces. Another show that I'm sorely tempted by, but I'm worried might be awful, is the completely made-up Adventures of Dick Turpin, which is also out today, this time on Apple TV+. Dick Turpin sets out on a journey of wildly absurd escapades when he's made the reluctant leader of a band of outlaws. Turpin is the most famous but least likely of highway robbers, whose success is defined mostly by his charm, showmanship, and great hair. Together with his gang of lovable rogues, Turpin rides the highs and lows of his new endeavours, including a brush with celebrity, all whilst trying to escape the clutches of the Thief Taker. It stars Noel Fielding, playing himself, I assume, Hugh Bonneville, Tamsin Gregg, Joe Wilkinson, Dolly Wells, Ellie White, Asim Chowdhury, and loads more. So it does have a whole heap of British TV comic talent.
Well, I also think Noel Fielding wrote that copy, for sure. And the second thing is, I mean, Adam, are you okay? Because you just said that that might not be very good, so your Apple TV Plus check might not clear this month.
I mean, I did only say might, and I will reserve judgment. But I guess my main issue with this, from the trailer that I've watched so far, is it does feel like a Noel Fielding vehicle for Noel Fielding to wear some fancy costumes, but still essentially be Noel Fielding.
I'm just looking at the trailer now. Yeah, it is Noel Fielding. Yeah, with great hair. I mean, we can't deny it. But I guess he needed something to do between the Victoria sponges, right?
Yeah, fair enough. What else is on this week, Grace?
Tell you what, it's coming up soon on the 5th of March on Disney+. It's called Death and Other Details. Imogen Scott finds herself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Who hasn't? And becomes the prime suspect in a locked room murder mystery. To prove her innocence, she must partner with a man she despises, Rufus Coatsworth, the world's greatest detective. It stars Mandy Patinkin, Violet Bean, and Rahul Kohli. I don't know what to make of this. Is this a serious drama?
I think it's a fairly semi-serious murder mystery. But Grace, you said wrong place at the wrong time. Is that just a typical Friday night?
No. It's the right place at the right time.
Well, also out on the 5th of March is Mary and George. This comes to Sky Atlantic and Now TV. It's the story of the Countess of Buckingham, who moulded her son to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover through intrigue, becoming richer, more titled, and more influential than England had ever seen. It stars Nicholas Galitzine, Julianne Moore, Tony Curran, who I recently watched in a Doctor Who episode as Vincent van Gogh, Samuel Blenkin, Nicola Walker, Neve Algar, and Simon Russell Beale. Yeesh, never mind the quality of that cast, feel the width.
Grace on a Friday night?
No, absolutely not.
I'm really looking forward to Extraordinary Season 2 that comes out on the 6th of March on Disney+. I really enjoyed the first series of Extraordinary. Really good, particularly Just Lord the Cat. For those that aren't so familiar, Extraordinary is somewhere between a sitcom and an existential crisis. An eye-popping, shocking, hilarious and bittersweet comedy about finding your way in the world when all you'll ever be is ordinary. Jen soon discovers that the process of finding her power isn't as easy as she hoped. And things in the rest of her life aren't smooth sailing either. Ex-cat, now boyfriend, Jizzlord, has had an unexpected revelation about his past, and Cash and Career attempting to... God, say it properly.
Should be a space there. Carrie. Cash and Carrie are...
Are you suggesting I'm reading this, Adam? And Cash and Carrie are attempting to be totally mature and dignified. Jen and the gang are dealing with new levels of adulting and chaos that none of them are prepared for.
I feel like season one literally just finished at this, or am I wrong?
It's definitely this time last year.
Well, you've seen it, Neil. You've seen season one, so you'd recommend this?
Yeah, definitely. Based on season one, it's wacky, it's fun. Yeah, it's basically that Jen has got friends who have got superpowers, all various weird superpowers, and she doesn't have hers and she doesn't know why, and then she tries to find what her superpower is.
Yeah, it's essentially everybody else in the world has superpowers apart from her.
From Jen and the Supermen to Gentlemen, coming to Netflix on the 7th of March, when aristocratic Eddie inherits the family estate, he discovers that it's home to an enormous weed empire and its proprietors aren't going anywhere. Starring Theo James, Kaya Scodeliaro, Daniel Ings, Vinnie Jones, Jolie Richardson, Ray Winston, Giancarlo Esposito, and it is Guy Ritchie's latest endeavour. I've had a look at the trailer. It looks incredibly Guy Ritchie.
Is anyone going to watch it?
I might have a look.
Probably pass on this. I was intrigued by the whole weed empire, but I'll probably pass on the Guy Ritchie. But also, you know, we should table a motion that Theo James should be called Theo Let's Fun James.
Motion seconded.
Yeah, absolutely. It was interesting you mentioned that the thing that piqued your interest was the weed empire, and you don't strike me as your average haunted fucking culturalist.
So, what else have we got coming up?
Also on Netflix. I mean, that The Gentleman is very much a Netflix show, right? This one, I think, is as well, as Alessandro Borghi plays Rocco Siffredi. He's a porn star, I don't really know. In Super Sex. It's an origin story for one of the most famous porn stars in the world, and that comes out on the 6th of March on the Netflix.
Do you think that's, you know, riding on the coattails of Pam and Tommy?
Racing a Friday Night.
Oh, that's my favourite ever.
Yeah, I feel like there was another one last year, maybe on Prime, about a porn star. I can't remember what that was called. But I mean, again, I have watched the trailer for this, and actually it looks well made, if that sort of shows of interest.
All right.
It's time now to move on to our news, I think, unless anyone else has any other shows coming out this week. And I'm going to kick us off with some sad news in that we lost in the last week Ewan McIntosh, who, of course, played Big Keith from The Office at the tender age of just 50 years. He was so utterly superb in The Office. When I used to work at the Bread and Roses pub in Clapham, he used to come in there every now and then. And yeah, it was just a lovely, lovely guy. I will put a link in the podcast notes to Big Keith's appraisal, which I think is one of the funniest moments and is really, really brilliant. And it will be a wonderful way to remember him.
Absolutely agree. Hopefully somewhere he's eating a Scotch egg and giving someone dating advice dressed as Ali G.
Yeah, I did a show up in Edinburgh back in 2005, and he was at the Pleasance Courtyard, and he was not the show after, but I think the show after, there was a bit of kind of back and forth, and every time I saw and spoke to him, he was an absolute gentleman.
So what other news do we have, Grace?
Oh my God, such exciting news. I know that Damo shared this on the WhatsApp group, but season two, BBC has commissioned two more seasons of Blue Lights. So we had season one, we know season two is coming, and now they're saying there's going to be four seasons, and I, for one, cannot wait.
What did you like about Blue Lights? Because I've not seen it.
Oh, okay. Well, let me just, it's Northern Ireland, and it's the police force, And it's basically, I would call it like a Northern Ireland The Wire. What would you say, Damo?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. I think the other thing is the lead is a woman who's previously been a social worker and has now become a police officer. And her experiences in her previous role informs how she wants to police in this very nuanced, difficult place to be a police officer. So, yeah, it's a kind of a discussion on how policing should look now and how it's kind of a little bit outdated.
It's absolutely brilliant. If you haven't seen season one of Blue Lights, what are you doing listening to us? Get on here.
It's one of those that you will inhale. I think it's only sort of 5 episodes maybe, and it's yeah, a very, very sort of quick watch, and you want to just keep going and going through it. But yeah, Richard Dormer's in it as well, which is always a good thing.
No, yeah, that sounds really good. One thing I'm extremely excited about, because it's one of the best bits of theatre I've seen over the last year, is the BBC's commissioned Dear England with Joseph Fiennes playing Gareth Southgate. I just couldn't stop talking about it after I watched it. I bought my dad for his Christmas present a ticket to see it. It's just outstanding. Not just the story and the whole psychology of Britain, never mind the British football, but also Joe Fiennes is outstanding as Gareth Southgate. He's absolutely mesmeric, and he gets the mannerisms without it being a caricature, an impression. I can't rate it enough. So the fact that they're doing it, I mean, it's already going out on NT Live, so you can watch the stage version, which is staged amazingly. But yeah, the fact that they're going to make, whether it's a BBC one-off film or whether it's a short series or whatever, I'm over the moon.
Yeah, it is uncanny. I remember watching it and being like, how is that not Gareth Southgate in front of me? I was just laughing the whole way through because every small nuanced thing he did was just perfect. What I would also say, yeah, even if you don't like football, if you're maybe someone who likes football but absolutely hates the Three Lions, which is understandable, there is still so much you can get out of this in terms of modern masculinity. And Neil, as you were saying, the psychological aspect of winning and being a failure. It's just the way it's plotted and paced is just such smart storytelling.
And just to go back to Joe Fiennes, you know, he became famous doing like Shakespeare in Love. He was like a kind of heartthrob. When I was at drama school, he'd left a couple of years before I started, and he came back and worked with us as students. Such a lovely man and such an amazing actor. If you compare Shakespeare in Love with Dear England, you know, he's almost unrecognizable as that person that we initially got to know.
I wholeheartedly agree with everything that was just said. Very excited about that. I'm also excited about apparently Amy Lou Wood, who I think is having a real moment right now. She is on various great, I think there's a, I'm terrible advice, but there's a film about her and a friendship between two women that she's in, a TV show at the moment that's doing really well. She's obviously been confirmed for White Lotus. So her and Ralph Davies has done a screen acting debut, and it's a rom-com dram called... called Film Club. Now, I don't know a lot about this, but I really feel like Amy Lou Wood is really very exciting in terms of her choices at the moment and her performances and her creativity. I'm like really excited by this person. So this is great.
She's also in Alice and Jack, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. It's a really small role so far. I think I've watched 3 or 4 episodes of Alice and Jack so far, but yeah, she's fine in it, but she hasn't been given much to do in that particular role. But yeah, there's quite a few in here that I'm excited about. Mint is a darkly comic drama following the kids, mum and grandma of a crime family. So an alternative look at a crime show. The Ministry of Time is Callie-Anne Bradley's debut novel, which is going to be adapted by Alice Birch. And I think that sounds pretty exciting.
So that's caused controversy. People who maybe have listened to the podcast since it started 3 years ago may remember me talking about a Spanish show on Netflix called El Ministerio del Tiempo, which is, as you can probably work out, the Ministry of Time. There is a significant overlap in the story. So I think Netflix are currently taking out legal action against this because this book was magically written, I think, not long before the show was commissioned, 3 years after Netflix had this big Spanish language show that didn't really get anywhere in the Anglosphere, allegedly.
Interesting. Very good knowledge there. Well, the final one that I'm interested in is The Split Up, which is a sort of spin-off or follow-up to Abby Morgan's The Split, which I know Catherine enjoyed. I didn't get to watch The Split.
So, Adam, from today, 104 sleeps without the boys until you get to have a sleep with the boys. Are you excited?
I'm very much excited about the fact that The Boys season 4 will land on the 13th of June. But I can't believe I've got to go 104 more sleeps without any boys.
Sounds like you have some beef with that, Adam.
You could say that.
Why would you say that, Damo?
Because it seems like he was quite upset with the fact that he had to... Oh, sorry. Beef season 2. The rumours of casting. Jake Gyllenhaal, Anne Hathaway, Charles Melton and Kaylee Spaney are to play two feuding couples.
So apparently, I love the briefing notes on this because it says it and then at the end it just says unconfirmed.
Yeah, that's the rumours that are going around at the moment. But yeah, it's not been confirmed yet that it's going to be happening. But I think if it did, Charles Melton, I've just watched in May, December, one of the Oscar-nominated shows, and I think it's quite good. And obviously, Jake Gyllenhaal and Anne Hathaway, I'm a big fan of both of them.
May, December what?
What?
May, December what? May it do what?
May December be with you, Damo.
That's one of the few Oscar films I've got left to watch.
Yeah, it's okay. Do we want more beef? Do we want a second season of beef? Was the first season so good that it should really just be left well enough alone?
No, more beef, please.
Adam, that's such a peninsula mentality.
Yeah, I'd be quite happy to have more beef in my life.
You know what is an interesting show coming up on, dare I say it, Paramount Plus? Damo, how's your free trial going? Is that over?
Yeah, that's been gone.
Okay, so we might have to rely on the listeners to let us know what this show is about, but it's called Curfew, and it's a 6-part thriller starring Sarah Parish, Mandeep Gill, Mitchell Robertson, Alexandra Burke? As in
really?
X Factor winner Alexandra Burke, who famously sang with Beyonce. Goodness.
She's not just a pretty voice.
I don't know about you, but is anyone else sensing the elephant in the room about this? All right, I'm going to have to explain this. Sorry. So Alexandra Burke, after X Factor, went to the States to try and break the States. And she came back and I think she was in This Morning or whatever. And she was being interviewed and she said something about something being the elephant in the room. And everyone was like, that's a bit weird. Why have you said that? But fine. And she was like, yeah, I'm bringing that phrase to the UK. I heard it in the US. and you know, no one says that here. So I'm bringing it from the US. And everyone was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Wow.
Ironically, no one challenged her on that, and so it was the elephant in the room.
Well, I think we'll put the link to that interview in the podcast description. But this is a show called Curfew, as I said, on Paramount Plus, and it's about the Women's Safety Act, which must be a fictional thing. It means that all men are under curfew from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Hey, I don't hate this idea.
What, and women are allowed to roam the streets from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I think it's a genius premise for a show, for a speculative fiction show. So yeah, I am quite excited about this, and it may well make me renew my Paramount Plus subscription when it finally airs. I think this is quite a way away from actually coming out.
Or just, you know, you use an old email address and get a new trial. But you didn't hear that here. That's not a thing.
None of us would do anything like that.
Never.
Well, hopefully what won't be a trial is the fourth season of Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, that's so exciting. Who's in it, Adam? Tell us.
Well, now that Eugene Levy and Eva Longoria have been confirmed as joining the cast for season 4 of Only Murders in the Building. Yeah, I mean, the third season was okay, but I'm hoping the fourth season will be a return to form. In sort of fairly non-news, we had one first look image and further casting for Daddy Issues, which stars Amy Lou Wood, as previously mentioned, and The Walking Dead's David Morrissey as daughter and father. Odd couple sort of setup. I think this one does look quite good. I mean, it's just was just one image that was shared with us, but I'm quite excited about that coming out. I think that's going to be a BBC show. What else have we got?
We've kind of covered Cush Jumbo leaking the information about season 2 of Criminal Record. However, Frasier has also been confirmed for a second season on Paramount Plus.
He's back in the building.
I'm listening.
And you know what? I'm often quite excited about all the news elements of this, but there's something that doesn't make me feel very excited, and that is that Michael Fassbender has been approached to star in a spy thriller, The Department, directed by George Clooney. I mean, I don't know what it is about that sentence, but I feel nothing.
Eddie Redmayne, he's obviously going to be in Sky's The Day of the Jackal, alongside Lashana Lynch. We knew that already. What we didn't know was that also in The Day of the Jackal would be the aforementioned Richard Dormer, Charles Dance, Ursula Corbero from Money Heist, and The Walking Dead's Eleanor Matsura. This is going to be a 10-part series which has been adapted by the Top Boy creator Ronan Bennett. And I think that looks pretty fantastic. Apparently, it has nothing to do with CJ Craig's signature dance move.
Well, then I'm not interested, not remotely.
So Ursula Corbero plays Tokyo in Money Heist, for those who wanted to try and work it out.
And in other Walking Dead alumni news, Sonequa Martin-Green's Star Trek Discovery gets a trailer. It's the fifth and final season of Star Trek Disco. And Josh McDermott, the mullet, is back. He's been cast in Suits, LA, alongside Stephen Amell. Pretty safe to say that probably none of us are going to be watching either of those shows.
I feel like we now need a subcategory to the podcast, which is Walking Dead alumni news.
So I'm guessing, to address the elephant in the room, that Suits LA is a horrendous spin-off, prequel, parallel to Suits, which absolutely died on its arse in the last two series.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with Suits, but I assume that that was set somewhere other than LA, and that Suits LA is going to be the version of the show that is set in LA.
Clearly inspired by Married at First Sight Australia.
The cyclical nature of MAFSA. Maybe we should close out.
probably more in line with CSI Miami, CSI Lewisham, whatever it was that they had.
Oh my God, CSI Lewisham. I would watch that.
I would watch it and be absolutely devastated that I wasn't cast in it.
Grand. Well, it sounds like we're going to do Shogun. Neil, I've got to watch a few more Peter Capaldi Doctor Who's before we can do our Hooniversity challenge, but that will be coming out soon. Thank you very much to everyone who's listened and engaged with us over the last 3 years. If you want to engage with us in our fourth year, you can do so on the social media at tvdnapod, or by emailing tvdnapod@gmail.com, or by taking part in one of our many, many Spotify polls, or by leaving a 5-star rating and review on your podcast listening platform of choice.
Also, big shout out to the massive surge in listens that we've had over the past week and a half. It's been absolutely huge. We are very close to a significant number of listens. So this is very exciting.
Yeah, thank you to all of you. A toast to our listeners.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Kanpai.
We all tap the laptop.
Raising a Friday night.
Oh, no.
What doesn't even make sense?
That could be a euphemism. What are you doing? I'm off to tap the laptop.
Anything can be a euphemism.
Especially if you add "I'm off to" for the beginning of it.
Listeners, just so you know, we are recording this on a Friday night, which never happens for TVDNA, so we're all a bit giddy with that.
TVDNA on a Friday night.
Fabulous.
Grand. Well, I think this is us done then, isn't it? Anything else to cover, to say, to share? No. Thanks for listening.
Sayonara.
Bye.
Hey.
Well, it sounds like it's not a coincidence. It's a bloop, 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 bloop. One sec again.